why don't we just pray together before we take our seats. God, thank you that you're you, because you're just great. You know, we so appreciate you, who you are, your goodness. Man, it's just so good to just be in your presence, God, you know. It's so good to be together with you, Father. Bless us today. Bless everyone here represented, every family represented, Father. Bless them today, God. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Great. Good to see you all, everybody. Thanks, band. Great job. Excellent job. As you're taking your seat, say hello to someone who you haven't spoken to yet. Just say hey. For all the introverts, just give a nod for me. Thanks, Siobhan. Thank you, buddy. Well, if you're here for the first time, welcome. If you're here for the second time, welcome. If you're here for the 100th time, welcome. We are like a multi-generational, a bunch of just weirdos. It's great. I tell you, there's some strange people in this community, so the weirder you are, the more welcome you are, okay? So don't feel like you're out of place. It's odd people in this room. And they let some of them speak sometimes as well on a Sunday, so. Last week we looked at a story in the scriptures in Acts 1 where Jesus has died, he rises again, and then he goes to his disciples and says, okay, it's your turn now. That's what he says. He says, it's your time, it's your turn. They're asking him, Jesus, when is this kingdom of God going to come? Because they thought that at that time, the Jewish people were under Roman rule, Roman oppression. And so they thought that maybe it was going to happen militarily, but it wasn't. Because the kingdom of God is in here. Did you know that? That's what the kingdom of God is. It's in here. That's why when someone comes to faith, they find a new life. Because suddenly there's a new ruler on the throne. It's not just anxiety. It's not just selfishness. It's a king on the throne. And the scriptures actually call it the king of all kings, which means no one can match him. So when you come to faith, suddenly you realize, wow, I feel better. I think better. I know better. And that's because the kingdom of God is in you. But they didn't get it. And so it's like, still, what's going on? But this is what Jesus was saying to his disciples. He was handing them a baton. So we're kind of looking at the whole relay race theme thing. And today, I just want to talk about how to run. Almost most important is why you run. And this story is all about, it's our time and it's our turn. Right, now I said last week that I'd give you a gift. So if you were here last week and you've turned up for a gift, it's not happening. No, it is really. The welcome team are going to bring out a baton for you each so you can hit your husbands with, okay? So you're going, listen, Ben gave me this, it's telescopic. So you're each going to get one. So welcome team, if you could get them out as quick as you can. They're passed around in buckets. Now this is just a bit of cheap PVC piping. This isn't the actual PVC that Jesus used, okay? It's not. It's from B&Q, okay? DIY.com. So it's just a bit. But what I want to do today, that's it. Get them out, guys, as quick as you can. Come on, that's it. If you grab a baton out of the buckets, you got one each, and pens are going to come round as well. Now, they are permanent marker pens, so don't doodle on the back of the orange seats. Live free. And you lot in the corner over there. I see. All right. No doodling. So grab one. And then the pens, if you don't mind, try and keep it, if you're in a couple, one between two, just so everyone can get one. If you are kind of single in here, then have a pen yourself, wave it in the air, and then the other singles know who you are, okay? So I'm here. Great. So if you're on your own, grab one of these, and I will explain what we're doing. Just a minute. Let the bands go around. You get to keep these. If this is your first time in church, there's nothing weird about this. It's PVC piping, and it's just an exercise, okay? It's just an exercise to help you identify maybe what purpose you have in your world, what you want to the reason, let me start again, the why of what you do. So that's what, it's just an exercise, okay? If you look through it, you can see God. You can't really. Okie doke. Right, I want to tell you about my friend Mark. Right. So, have you ever been in a school sports day? School sports day. Okay, school sports day. So I was in school sports day. This was primary school. I went to St. Paul's, big up, St. P. Diddy. I went to that one, and it was great. And on a sports day, I remember Mark. Now, you see, Mark was the kind of kid, the kind of guy, and we're talking like, I don't know, 7 years old, I can't remember what age we are. He's kind of guy, he kind of had two girlfriends. Because in primary school, everyone knows that you have about five. In fact, one of my friends, Ricky, had seven. All-time record, seven girlfriends. And I think at that age, it's just a hi and a giggle. You know, it's like, hey. And so Mark was eyeing up this third girl. Her name was Leah. Now, Leah was really pretty, okay? Too good for him, okay? Now, Mark, a really lovely, lovely lad, wanted to impress Leah. And so what he decided to do is he decided to really give his everything in the egg and spoon race. Remember the egg and spoon race with the spoon and the egg? It's not an egg. I think you should make it more challenging and do like an egg and chicken and just make it more difficult. And Ricky always put his thumb on the end of a flipping spoon to stop it. Anyway, so Mark thought, right, I'm going to win this. I'm going to win this because I want to impress Leah. Mark, if you're listening to this on the podcast, yes, I'm talking about you. So we're all set on the line, and he's got his egg and spoon in his hand, and he really wants to win Leah, okay? And so we start running. The gun, it's not a gun, it was probably something, I don't know. Maybe it was a real gun in those days because health and safety was really low, okay? So maybe it was, it's like behave. And so the gun fires or whatever, and they leg it, and I'm not in that heat, so I'm watching it. And Mark is going for it. Now, Mark isn't the slightest fellow, and so he always kind of had a little bit difficulty finding clothes that were fitted just right. They were either too big or too little. So what happened was, as he was running in this race, the crowd are going wild, people. It is bedlam. It is mayhem. And he is sprinting towards that finish line. Spoon of dignity and egg of hope within his grasp. Hurtling towards the white line. And everyone's going, yeah, come on, you can do it. You can do it. And slowly, slowly, slowly but surely, he felt this sort of thing graze his leg, and slowly he would feel it lower towards his knee until he realized as he was running, his shorts were falling down. Poor Mark. And so Mark is running along, but you can't deter Mark. Mark's a solid kind of guy. So what he decides to do is, I'm going to bear the shame and I'm going to endure the joy set before me at that finish line, and I'm going to run. So despite what started out running as a cheetah, he ended up running like a penguin. It just shuffling his long. But no, if Leah would be impressed, it wouldn't be by his athleticism. It would be by his courage and his determination to finish the race. And he did, people. He finished the race, spoon and egg intact, pulled his shorts up. And did he get the girl? No, he didn't know about it. He didn't. Now, what's the point of that story? Well, I needed a filler to get the PVC piping handed out. So that was like number one, because now I have your attention again. But let me tell you what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians. Mark can identify with this. Here we go. In a book called 1 Corinthians, written by a guy called Paul, who was a disciple of Jesus, he met Jesus, and in the same way, Jesus gave him a baton to tell all the Gentiles, which is most of you, about how great, cool, graceful, and brilliant Jesus is. So as he's journeying, he writes these letters to different parts of the world, one of them being Corinth, which was in Greece. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, this is what it says, and I'm reading from the NLT, and if you're not of faith, that won't make a difference to you. But anyway, it says this: don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose. This is verse 26. So I run with purpose in every step. Run with purpose. But what if you're unsure of your purpose? What if you don't know what that is? Maybe you had it and you lost it. Maybe you're about to find it. Or maybe it came to you in such a clear way many, many years ago and you're still running with that purpose today. This message is for you. Purpose in the dictionary means the reason that something exists, okay? The reason that something exists, like a speed traffic camera, it's there to annoy you and it's there to make you pay money, okay? It's like Emmerdale. Emmerdale's there so you feel sort of pity towards Yorkshire people. You know, that's why Emmerdale exists, for that. But did you know that you exist for a purpose, even if you're from Leeds? Whoever you are in here, and even if you're unsure of faith, Chevy was right before. God is for you. Unbelievably for you. More than you'll ever know. Well, I'm not sure if I believe yet. Yeah, but he believes in you. So it doesn't change anything. He's still for you. You have a purpose. In fact, Alex Ferguson once said this in one of his press things. He says this, "I've never played to draw in my life. I've never played to draw in my life." And all the Man United fans are just crying at what once was. So Alex Ferguson, his purpose was to win. Doesn't matter who, doesn't matter whether he's playing Scunthorpe United in 1999 or whether he's playing Real Madrid in 2009. Doesn't matter. Every game, I'm here to win. Mark in my primary school, my purpose is to get the girl. That's why he ran it. Purpose can be spotted by her fruits. So let me explain. Often when we talk about purpose, we talk about what we want to achieve. Okay? So it's often, this is what I want to do, or this is what I want to create, or this is what I want. This is sort of my reaction, what I want that to be. So on your batons, wave your pens. Everyone got one, or most people got one. Okay, great. This is what I want you to do. I want you to grab your baton, and there's only going to be three times of doing this. And I want you to write anywhere on this. I want you to write the answer to this question. What one word would you want on your gravestone to describe you? So say, for example, you pass away into eternity, and you're watching from wherever you are, looking at this gravesmith, write a word on you that would they think would best describe you. What would you want that word to be? So anywhere on your baton, write that answer down. P.S., you don't have to do this, okay? I don't want to force you into it, but it's kind of just fun. So what one word would you want to be described as in the end? For those listening on podcasts, you can steal a neighbor's pipe from the drainage and use that. If we haven't already, it would be great, actually, to get some of these batons down to the gallery, the parent and baby room. So if great, excellent. So all you guys in the gallery, because they've got a live feed into here, make sure you're doing that as well. Do not give your children the markers. Don't do it. Okay, I'm moving on. You see, it's only ever really been about purpose. It's not about anything else. It's the reason for why you are here. So it's always... it's always about that. For Mark, it was always about Leah. It was all about getting the girl. For Alex Ferguson, it was all about winning the game. That's what it was about. But I've noticed growing up that the longer I run my race with the lane that God has chosen for me, in the words of Siobhan, the more I realize batons are scattered on the floor. And so the longer I run, I'm passing baton after baton after baton of people who went before me, but somehow lost their purpose. And it seems the longer you live, the more that happens. People seem to ebb and flow. They catch hold of who they are and what they're about, and things trip them up and they lose it. No one can ever steal your purpose from you. Did you know that? Promise you. No one can ever steal your purpose from you. Nelson Mandela, great example. He's like the archetypal kind of figure, but it works. His purpose was to bring equality to South Africa, to end oppression and a huge civil rights movement. And even though he was in jail for so many years, he would write and write and write with the same purpose in mind. You can put me in a prison, but you cannot take my purpose. They can put you in a prison, but they will never take your purpose. Paul actually writes, you know, 1 Corinthians, what we just read, he writes that most likely under house arrest. They wouldn't let him out. They couldn't take his purpose. What I realized is that where you go, your purpose goes. And no one can ever take it away. They can take your place. They can't take your purpose. Because wherever you decide to go, you see what Paul said? I run with purpose in every step. Home. Work. My mental health. My friendships. My relation. Every step. Purpose. 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 Something's changed. Something's shifted. That's been taken away from me. It doesn't matter because it's purpose. Purpose. Run to win. That's what he said. Yeah. Run to win. Usain Bolt. You don't need to convince that guy. He just flipping goes for it. Yeah. In every step. Purpose. Also, as a side note, purpose makes you do crazy things. Mark finished the race with shorts around his ankles. This is what purpose does. Purpose builds hospitals and medical centers. Purpose goes overseas and takes aid to war-torn countries. Purpose rallies and marches against oppressors. But let's bring it right down to home. Purpose gets you out of bed every morning to make your spouse a cup of tea before they wake up. That's purpose. Purpose saves money for decades and then in a moment hands it over to a loved one so they can use it. How crazy is that? Purpose heals relationships. Purpose risks its skin to save others. You know what I love? That purpose sent his son to this earth. I love that purpose so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will have life eternal and will never perish. And I love the fact that Jesus picked up that baton of purpose and lived a perfect, spotless life. Heal people, just changing the cultural landscape, blessing those on the margins and the misunderstood. Grace theology out of a theology of law. Grace, forgiveness, until a day came when he trained enough people to carry on this message through the generations to us today. He would then, this purpose would allow itself to be afflicted, to be beaten, pierced, whipped, humiliated. Purpose would allow himself to die for us. But purpose didn't stop there. You see, what purpose did next was in the grave, he went to hell and he plundered it. He went to hell, all the people that have ever suffered or in that place of suffering, and he went in and he liberated them one by one, one by one, one by one. And as he did that, as he emptied that, he got the keys and he locked whatever what is in there straight back in there. And he liberated. And do you know what I love is that purpose still today is plundering hell. Purpose still to this day is going into broken places and rescuing people. Rescuing marriages, rescuing friendships, rescuing all sorts of kind of different stuff. And how does it do that? Because 3 days after purpose died, purpose rose again. Come on, somebody. Purpose rose again. So in the light of that greatness, in the light of that victory, that same purpose that lived in Jesus now lives in the same power, the same purpose. Purpose does such crazy things. Purpose makes you do crazy things. And as a follower of Jesus, if you're in here and you've said yes to God, because there's some people that haven't done that yet, and may not today, but might in the future, you get off the hook. But if you're in here and you follow Jesus, we have a responsibility to be the kindest, most hardworking, generous, sacrificial, compassionate, forgiving, righteously angry, happy, content, adventurous, encouraging, helping. We're meant to be that people in this world. Why? Because we have a purpose that transcends anything else, because this baton has been handed to you from Jesus himself. You are whole, so go and heal someone else. You are well, so go and make someone else well. And through time, through Adam and Eve and Abraham and Colin and all these people who I'm sure you'll find in the scriptures, the same baton lands in our hand today. And it's our choice to run. I want to see you run with purpose. Because I watch far too much ITV2 and watch people just run around in circles chasing the next purpose who they can throw their identity onto. That's attractive. I'm going to place my identity in that. 2 days later, oh, I'm having a crisis of my life. Maybe he's not the love of me. Maybe he's not. Maybe you should pay for your first date. Eh? There is something quite incredible when purpose awakes inside you. So on your batons, that was heavy. But I want you to write something on your batons. Okay, so I want you to write, the next thing is this. What personal strength adds value to others? So what strength do you have that adds value to others? And I want you to find a space on your baton, and I want you to write it down. So think about how good you are, because you're good. Seriously, you're M&S, okay? You're great. You're Mr. Kipling. You're exceedingly good. So think about a strength that you have. Think about who you are. Think about what people depend on you for. Think about a strength, and I just want you to write that down on your baton now. And for all those listening on the podcast, don't forget to hit subscribe to get it automatically downloaded on your mobile phone. Don't forget, you guys in the gallery, you do the same. What strength do you add to others? How do you add value to others through your strength? Okay, I've only got about 10 minutes left, and then we're going to enjoy the rest of our day together. So I've got to wrap this up quick, okay? How do I get my purpose back if I've lost it? How do I get my purpose back if I've lost it? There's five helpful things that I've seen from other people, how they've got their purpose back. Say you're in a season, say you've come to a place where you feel like every bit of meaning and reason has gone. Here's just five things that I noticed from my walk and some on other people's. So here we go. How do I get my purpose back? If you're taking notes, number one, prioritize what's the most important to you, not what's most urgent to you. Okay, so difference is important will kind of always be important, but the urgent, you kind of just have to do it now kind of thing, you know? Like, okay, the dishes need to be done, but really the most important thing is to make sure you spend time with your family. So you've got to make sure you keep that at the top of your priority list. Secondly, prioritize your friendships. Choose your friendships more carefully. Choose your friendships more carefully. You will become the people you hang around with. It's kind of just a fact of life. So if you're hanging around people who bring you down levels, then maybe it's time to surround yourself with people who bring you up levels. Doesn't mean you don't love them anymore. It just means the permissional level has changed a little bit. Okay, third thing is invest in the area of your passion. It's going to cost you money and it's going to cost you time. If you feel like your purpose in the world is to write, if you feel like that's just your passion, but yet you're a bricklayer, it's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you money to get a course to upskill in your writing. It might cost money to start a blog online and pay for some hosting fees. It might cost you time because you work all day and you're tired, but you just need to do it. You need to practice. So invest. It's going to cost something. What you focus on flourishes. So if you focus on something that's bad, that bad thing is going to flourish. Maybe it's time to focus on something else. Fourthly, get regular you time. Make sure you're good, and then you can make sure everyone else is good. I need a coffee in the morning. I came to faith so long ago, and I'm still not a Christian until 10 a.m. Oh, yeah. I need a coffee. Give me that caffeine. That's my time. But without that time in the morning to just clear my head of all the messed up dreams I have, when I have that peace and quiet, I'm better for my family. I'm better for my work. So, and also when you're in a race, you exercise, you've got to have recovery time, haven't you? Just to recover. It's good to just recover yourself sometimes. Recover what was lost. Recover your strength. Finally, connect with Jesus. Connect with Jesus. Pause. Just hit pause. On your baton, and we're going to do an exercise with this in a minute, but you're not going to read them out or anything. So if your purpose is to dance, then you're not going to need to dance, okay? So I'm not going to embarrass you. The last question I'm going to ask you is this. In 20 years' time, what would you like as your greatest achievement? In 20 years' time, now, some of you are 403. But just think about it in a long-term kind of goal time, okay? So just think about it in terms of long-term. In 20 years' time, or when you've got more hindsight in your life than foresight, let's put it like that, what would you like as your greatest achievement? That's a toughie, but you can have a minute, okay? If you're listening on the podcast, don't forget to tweet about us. Hashtag TCC Life. Gallery, all the guys in the gallery, make sure you're doing this as well. What do you want as your greatest achievement in 20 years' time or however long? You can put more than one answer, it's fine, but you kind of get where I'm going with this. I'm trying to get you to explore a roundabout way what might be your purpose. Now, I want you to read those, okay? I want you to read them. So the questions I asked were, what one word would you want to be described about you? Second one is, what personal strength adds value to others? And thirdly, in 20 years' time, what would you like as your greatest achievement? Can I have a show of batons, okay? I want to put your baton in the air. If you fit, yeah, all right, not yeah, I really appreciate that, thank you. Woo! Yeah, got a baton, got it free. I want you to raise your baton in the air if you know what your purpose is, or if you're pretty much there with it. batons in the sky. Let's have a look at you. Okay, there's quite a few. Come on, don't be afraid. It's not like a contract. Okay, that's amazing. Look at all those people. Now, I want you to put your hand up if you have completely no idea what your purpose is. And if you're new in here, don't feel like you have to take part. It's fine. I've not a clue what my reason for my existence is. Your hands are batons in the sky. Okay, cool. Now, everyone else that didn't raise their hands, you're either, you don't like me because I'm making you do this, or you're kind of somewhere in the middle. There's also some transitional stuff here. And you see it all the time with people who had, say, people living with them who moved out, and now it's a different season of purpose for them. You see it in retirees as well. They leave the job, and suddenly their existence becomes about a different purpose. Unless you're just here to dance, and then in that case, that's fine. But wherever you are, the key to finding your purpose is to connect with Jesus. Promise you. Paul said, run to win. He said that these runners, they do it to win a prize that will fade away. But when you connect with Jesus, your purpose becomes for an eternal prize. Something that lasts far beyond you. I love the fact that in this town of Wigan, and Lee, because somehow we're together, we're two separate towns, but hey, you know, we're twins. In our borough, in the northwest, we're doing this as a community. We are nailing it. In Live Free's terms, we're bossing it. Yeah, is that still a word? Is that right? Yeah, great. We're bossing it. That building over there that is going to be open at the start of September the 3rd, that is a reflection of our purpose. That isn't the purpose. Because I can guarantee you that if you become a contributor in this house, in 10 years' time, we'll have to build another one. Either somewhere else or extend. Because the purpose is the same. The purpose is this. It's to help people love, grow, and serve wherever they are. And as they get bigger, and as they grow, and as they welcome other people into a community of grace, they themselves love, grow, and serve. Until this philosophy and spirit cascades into every scattered place. So that we can run with purpose in every step. Don't put your feet up when we get in that hall if you're in this church. Don't do it. Because we're only just beginning. This is only the start of what God wants to do in you and through us all. Okay, right, I'm pretty much done. And I'd like a muso to come on stage. I don't know if Grace is about, if Grace is here. Is she here? Come on, Grace. Come and do some things on that machine. Just play anything you want, Grace. I think chilled atmosphere. Think Bruno Mars, but like Jesus. Okay. Go for it. Here's the baton, Grace. Thanks, Grace. Okay, so I want you to, if you have a Bible, I want you to turn to another Bible verse that Paul wrote, and it's Hebrews 12:2-3. Hebrews 12:2-3. And I want to read this to you, okay? And I'm going to turn there myself. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews is written to the Hebrews, which is a people. Paul wrote it, probably under house arrest, living with purpose. Is this verse 2? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. So how do we run? And I'm reading from the NLT now, so I don't know what version you're reading from. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Just like Mark, disregarding the shame of his shorts falling down. He endured. Now he is seated on the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't grow weary and give up. While we stand to our feet, I would love to just pray a prayer for you, and then we'll go enjoy the rest of the day. As you stand, maybe you just want to waft someone, cool them down a little bit. You jump to your feet with me. If you're able to stand, please stand with me. Let's finish strong, yeah? Final sprint, let's finish strong, okay? So grab your baton. If you want to take part in this, feel free. Okay, great. I want you to hold, if you want to be part of this prayer, I want you to hold your baton. Now, I'm going to pray for people who feel like they have lost purpose. They have lost this reason for existence. You feel kind of like this motivation is missing. This energy is missing that used to propel you. And I don't know why that's gone. But honestly, that doesn't really matter right now. What matters is that you are deciding to hold the baton in hand and decide to run with the purpose that God has put out for your life. Before we go, I want to pray for you. So if you're serious about this, I want you to grab it in your right hand. I want you to grab this baton that you are saying, Jesus, I will follow you. God, I believe that you have set me up. I believe that there is a plan for me, a purpose for me. Just like when my son got dedicated before, he'll have a moment in time where he himself will have to find out what his purpose is and run. And that's where you are now. You're deciding to run again. So if that's you and you want me to include you in this prayer, to ask God to repurpose your life, repurpose your heart, then I just want you to hold your baton in your right hand. And I want you to lift it to the sky. You're saying, Jesus, that's why I'm here. And even if you're unsure, in faith you're saying, God, I believe again that I can do what's in my heart to do. No one can steal my purpose from me. So I will run with purpose in every step. Wherever you are, lift that baton. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for every individual that has decided that they will run on purpose, Father. That they will live on purpose. Heal their heart in the name of Jesus. You are our perfecter. You take our brokenness and you change it to wholeness so that our attempts to be great are fulfilled, because suddenly we have the perfecter on our side. Won't you encourage your people today, Spirit? Won't you rest upon these guys? Give them hope again. Give them strength again. Give them life again. Father, let them open up their hearts to receive you again. To say, I'm not sure what's going on, but I feel a beating in my heart. And it's a rhythm like footsteps. God is giving you purpose again. God is giving you hope again. God is showing you that you've always had a future. There's always been a way. You've just felt hopeless. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Maybe you're in here and you've never said yes to Jesus before. And you're saying, do you know what, Ben? I have never heard anything like this before. Excuse me. I have never heard anything like this before in my life about a son who came to save me. And all the brokenness and the messed upness that I'm feeling and all the bad stuff that I can't stop doing, actually he sorts, he forgives me. He gives me the power to overcome the things that control me. I've never heard this before. I want to know. If that's you in here, I'm going to include you in a prayer. And what we're going to say is, we're going to say, Jesus, I believe in you and I'm going to follow you. Two simple things. I believe you, Jesus, that you are the Son of God and that you saved me. And I intend to follow you. That's what you're saying. And if you're in here, all heads bowed, lift your hand if that's you. All heads bowed, lift your hand. I want to include you. That's great. There's someone here. Is there anyone else? come on, where are you? I don't want to miss you. That's great. There's another person. Anyone saying, I've never done this before? That's great. That's awesome. Anybody else? I just want to pray and then we'll go, okay? Okay? Just want to pray for you. Okay, here we go. Say it all together. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus. Come on, dear Jesus. I believe in you. I'm sorry. Thank you for forgiving me. I intend to live for you all the days of my life. I am free. I am liberated. I am new. In your name, Jesus. Amen. You did it. You did it. You did it. Jesus ran toward you and he handed you a baton. And this baton is life and freedom and grace and hope. And I am sure that you will not drop this baton because nothing compares to the love of Jesus. Okay, I'm just about done now. I'm just about done. And the reason why Jesus perfects our faith is because we're not perfect. And for some of you in here, you have been living a purpose that is only half full because you will not allow God to take it and run with it with you. I encourage you, if you're in faith today, give your baton to God, be my perfecter, and just look what you can do. If you're a nurse in here, I believe that you're going to get your compassion back for your patients. If you're a teacher in here, I believe you're going to get the love and the passion for teaching again. If you're here and you're a parent, I believe you're going to grow a patience again. If you're in here and you're an employee, I believe the bottom line won't matter anymore because it is about the quality of service that you want to bring to people. In every step, the church will bring hope to this world again. You and I will do this. Thanks for listening. Amen.